from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, infrastructure development around Morgantown will be helped by a bill passing the House of Delegates. The bill makes adjustments for a tax increment financing district in Monongalia County. The Senate approves a bill that will add judges to four of the busiest circuits in the state court system. And tonight, we'll find out more about an effort to strengthen small communities to keep them economically viable on the legislature today.
Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. For weeks, members of the Senate Education Committee worked their way line by line through a bill to create a public charter school system in West Virginia. It passed through that committee early last week, despite the concerns expressed by some Democratic senators and union leaders alike. Today, members of the Senate Finance Committee took up the bill, but a procedural move by our guest, Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler, put at least a hiccup in the majority's plan to create charter schools. Senator Kessler, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Ashton.
So this procedural motion that you made this afternoon, it's a complex one to understand, but can you explain to us what it does?
Well, it's a motion to postpone indefinitely action on the bill, which upon passage becomes actually the death knell of that bill for the session, remainder of the session under the Jeffersonian Rules 443 section of our rules. And initially I was going to move to reject the bill, but my good and learned colleague, Senator Unger, who's quite a parliamentarian in his own right, you know, suggested the PPI motion, and I made it. It passed 8-6 and 3 absent. So it was obviously a party line vote, but you know, it's not the first party line vote we've had. If you've been watching the floor, and I know you've had, the Republican majority have been running, you know, pretty much their agenda every time they have the numbers. And I've yet to see but a handful of times where maybe count on less than one hand how many times a Republican has jumped across party lines on any vote. So obviously there was a charter school bill. It was about arithmetic. And one thing I learned about in school was how to count. We had more heads and more numbers than they did that time. So I thought it was an appropriate thing to do, not just because of the bill itself or the numerical advantage that day, but because of the fact, as I, not on education, but as I heard that bill come through the process, I was, you know, and I was troubled from the beginning when they said, brought up Gail Manchin from the state school board president and asked if there was any input from the school board in drafting the bill. No. What about the superintendent of schools? No. What about the state school superintendents? No. What about the county principals association? No. The county school boards? No. The teachers? No. It was a bill driven by and written by out-of-state interest, in my view, and I think it's trying to fit a square peg into a round hole in West Virginia, and it just doesn't fit here. So I thought rather than waste our committee's time by having that thing thrashed around up there for a few days, let's put it behind us quickly and maybe move on to some things that will really perhaps improve education in our state.
So what are those things? What things do you think will improve education in this state?
Well, first of all, I think everyone will tell you the thing that really works, I don't care what you call it, a charter school, private school, public school, the thing that really works is parental involvement. And when charter schools have been successful, and then they're rare, it's usually in areas where there's high level of involvement. So even in our public schools, when the parents are involved, the teachers involved, and most importantly the parents, they usually have higher test scores, higher success rates because the parents are involved. The problem we have as a state, quite frankly, is, you know, we have a lot of disadvantaged children, and many times, and we have a low level of college attainment level. So many respects, many of our more educated folks have moved out of the state for other opportunities, so it makes it much more difficult for kids that are being raised in oftentimes in single parent homes, etc., to get the kind of nurturing that they oftentimes need. That's not to say we give up on our kids, it just makes our teachers' jobs that much harder, and not knowing them as I do, they're willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
So, Senator, this charter schools bill, this move means that committee cannot reconsider it.
No.
They can't go back and re-decide the vote. But can the bill still come from somewhere else? Can it come from the House?
You know, I have no control over what happens in the House. But, you know, again, as I've told you before, I think that the agenda in many respects I'm seeing run out of the new majority is radical and wrong for West Virginia. I don't care whether it's taking away constitutional rights, you know, taking away the right to trial by jury, search and seizure for drug testing. I mean, they trample on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights for all, and they look the other way. But it's troubling to see that kind of stuff that's really being driven by out-of-state interest to consolidate political power rather than being run out of a, out-of-state political playbook rather than a West Virginia needs book. We're not running what West Virginia needs, and that's what troubles me by what I'm seeing coming out of the new majority.
So we talked to the state superintendent of schools, Dr. Martirano, earlier this session, and he said he supports charter schools. He comes from Maryland, and they have those programs. What do you say to those people who support charter schools?
You know, they haven't been vetted here. That's the problem. And as I mentioned earlier, all those groups that weren't brought in as the bill was delivered and came out and, you know, worked and thrown out before the committee on the first day, and then they did revisions and revisions and revisions. But, you know, if you really want to do something, join me. Let's get an interim committee going that can study this thing throughout with all the folks and see if it really works. But again, I think you find that in most rural states it doesn't work. In some urban areas it does work, have some success, but again, I think it boils down to a couple of things: funding and parental involvement and involvement from the teachers and buy-in. Anywhere you have that, you have success in education.
Well, Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you, Ashton.
For the past several years, the West Virginia legislature has been studying the state's court system. Last night, the Senate Judiciary Committee met and approved a bill that came from one study, a bill that will realign the state's magistrate court system. But the chamber also passed a bill to put a bill to a vote today focused on circuit courts.
Senate Bill 415 comes as a result of a study by the National Center for State Courts. The study shows West Virginia's circuit court system is overloaded and recommends lawmakers add more circuit judges. But Senate Judiciary Chair Charles Trump says the number recommended was too financially cumbersome for the state.
The recommendation from the National Center for State Courts was that we should add between 17 and 19 judges, and we just found that impossible to do. What we did was we picked four circuits that had the highest need, highest workloads per judge, and added a judge in each of those.
The bill adds four judges in circuits in North Central West Virginia, the Eastern Panhandle, Raleigh County, and the circuit made up of Jackson, Calhoun, Mason, and Roane counties. The bill passed without a nay vote, and the four new judges will be elected in 2016.
The House considered House Bill 2562 today relating to sales tax increment financing. The bill would authorize the recalculation of the base tax revenue amount, specifically in reference to Morgantown and other areas of Monongalia County. Liz McCormick reports.
Delegate Eric Nelson, the House Finance Chair, explained the bill and says it will help infrastructure in Monongalia County.
And this is an evolving form of financing. As we move forward as a state and look to create opportunities for new economic development, part of that is having some funding sources. The state is not at risk in this. They do not own the bonds. What has been described here, comparing this as a mortgage, the state doesn't have a mortgage on this. There are other people that hold these bonds looking to the development up in Morgantown, the excess development, the excess sales that will pay off their funding that they put in place so that we could finish the development of this area, this interchange, bring in new business to help the whole community of Monongalia and County and Morgantown.
Delegate Doug Reynolds opposed the bill, saying it was too vague.
People in Morgantown got their baseball stadium. The only issue here is, and I'm not sure whether the $15 million was too high or too low, is who bears that risk? The bondholders or the taxpayers of the state of West Virginia?
Delegate Cindy Fritch of Monongalia County supported the bill and says it must be passed if Monongalia County's infrastructure is to improve.
I heard Mon County's getting a baseball field, or we got our baseball field. WVU got their baseball field. If this does not go forward, Monongahela County will not get their infrastructure improvements, will not get the interchange, will not get infrastructure for development of one of the least development parts of the county with one of the poorest schools accessing, poorest children accessing a school in the area.
Delegate Nelson spoke again before passage, urging support of the bill and saying it's just one step in the right direction.
Let's look at other forms of development that we have utilized throughout this state. How many new entities have come into the state that have received a tax credit of some form or another? We've had quite a few of those. So this just happens to be a form of financing that is basically cutting a base at a certain level, and everything above that is benefit to private players taking a risk on the assumption of growth. The state is a party to that because we've looked ahead, set a base, and we go off that.
House Bill 2562 passed 75-20. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
In a moment, we'll learn more about the effort to turn some West Virginia towns around. But first, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today.
Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 541 to make changes concerning the regulation and control of elections. Senate Bill 546 to create the Compassionate Use Act for medical cannabis. The bill defines debilitating medical conditions for which medical cannabis may be used. Senate Bill 547 to cease greyhound racing in West Virginia. Senate Bill 548 to alter the manner in which vacancies for the United States Senate are filled, eliminating the appointment by the governor and calling for a special election. Senate Bill 563 to eliminate the requirement the racetracks have agreements with representatives of local horse owners, trainers, paramutual clerks, breeders, and kennel owners to have a video lottery license. Senate Bill 566 to create a hotel and restaurant renovation tax credit. And Senate Bill 567 to require legislative approval of the expansion of Medicaid managed care.
Citizens in two communities in West Virginia have been working for a year to turn their towns around. Last January, over 16,000 votes were cast for Grafton in Taylor County and Matewan in Mingo County to receive special help, identifying projects that would make a big difference to their town's economic prosperity. Beth Voorhees reports on the effort called Turn This Town Around.
As we identify projects, I want to stress a couple other things. Sometimes it's really easy to think about a project and think of it in this way. You know what they ought to do? That's not the kind of project we want to hear about. What we want to hear is, you know what I think I would like to do? This isn't about you identifying what somebody else in Matewan should be doing for the community. It's about saying, this is a project I believe in and this is something I'd invest in.
Kent Spellman is firing up the crowd at a Turn This Town Around meeting in Matewan. He's the executive director of the West Virginia Community Development Hub. Based in Fairmont, it's a group that looks at community needs and opportunities. In his work, Spellman saw too many towns on the brink of collapse.
These communities, many of them, are at a tipping point where they're going to have to really change the way they're approaching their community, or they're going to die on the vine. And so she came up with the idea of a feature in West Virginia Focus called Turn This Town Around. And it's all about how we could work with communities to revitalize them and to start turning communities around across West Virginia.
Back at the organizational meeting in Matewan, Spellman does not mince words about the need for individual involvement to turn that town around.
You got to throw yourself into it. You got to believe in it. You got to say you believe in it. You got to tell your neighbors you believe in it. Because the it is you. And if you don't believe in your ability to turn your community around, it isn't going to happen. So take ownership of this initiative and of the opportunities that are going to come your way.
But Spellman is not alone in promoting this effort. Nikki Bowman is the founder of New South Media Incorporated, a multimedia company based in Morgantown that publishes regional lifestyle and travel magazines for a national audience. She, too, saw too many communities withering and now works with Spellman to promote the idea of taking these small towns and giving them the resources to rebuild.
I don't know of any media company that has ever launched a campaign like this. In fact, I got a call from University of Virginia, who was really interested in our program, and they couldn't believe that it started with a media company wanting to create and be a part of an economic development revitalization program. And so that, for one, you know, for one reason, is it makes it a little special. But I think the other way that this turned this town around has been different than other events around the state is because we have created these public-private nonprofit partnerships and provided the community with experts to help them create a vision for their community. And not only do they have these experts to rely on, there's been money from the Benedum Foundation, some mini grants that have helped them kind of kick off some of their projects.
But Spellman and Bowman's efforts can't work without money. That's where the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation comes in. It's a regional philanthropy organization focusing on West Virginia and southwestern Pennsylvania. Mary Hunt is the foundation's senior program officer. She says Turn This Town Around is a project worthy of its funds because it allows citizens in these small towns to help themselves.
If a community sees it as an important, they will invest in it. That means then that sort of encourages a funder to look at and follow up on the, how their investment may be expended as well. Best products are those that the community has committed its own resources. We call it skin in the game. And as communities have skin in the game, it encourages us to look how our investments might build off of that. So it's very, very important.
Here in Grafton, it's cleanup day. Graftonians have come together to sweep up and plant flowers to make their town more attractive.
We've been trying to do this ourselves for quite a while, and I was always interested in that. You know, I just really think that we could be something great again if we put ourselves to work and really believe in it and are determined and have big goals long out that take, you know, time and effort. People don't want to start stuff because they're so afraid that it's going to fail that they won't even get started.
Julie Royce is washing the windows of a business in downtown Grafton. She welcomes the resources that Turn This Town Around has brought.
So when this came and people saw, like, these people know what they're doing and they'll help us get started, then I think a lot of people were excited because they just didn't really know where to go on their own and they felt like we'll just fail and, you know, fall on our face. And so I was really excited about this when it came out.
Since the process began, exciting things have been happening for the two West Virginia towns. In Matewan, an abandoned high school building has become a fitness center for the community. In Grafton, the annual Memorial Day festivities were expanded and a children's park is getting a makeover. And they're not done yet. Citizens of these small towns still have big plans in the works. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Beth Voorhees.
And two representatives from the communities that turn their towns around join us. Dave Hatfield is from Matewan and Kevin Stead is from Grafton. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's start in Grafton. What changes have you seen in your community?
Well, a big change is the community involvement, the community engagement. People are coming forth wanting to be involved, wanting to try to turn their town around, wanting to do positive things, get involved with not only local government, but as of today, you know, the state government. They came to Charleston, they got involved asking for projects, asking for funds, trying to get the state involved and some of the ideas that's coming forth in Grafton.
Dave, we saw Kent in Matewan at one of the meetings trying to psych up the crowd, get them involved. Did you see that at work in your community? Have you seen improvements?
Yes, this program was really great with motivation. And it helped us realize that we have capabilities that we didn't know we had. And it helped us empower us to the point to where, you know, we believe now. And we believe in the process. And we believe that we can make a difference in our towns.
Dave, was it difficult to get the citizens of your town to believe that they could make a difference?
I believe so, to a certain extent. It didn't take long. We still have some doubters, of course. You're going to have that anywhere. But most of the people in town have bought into it. And we're willing to put it all in.
Kevin, the same question. Was it difficult for you all to get the citizens of Grafton involved and excited about this program?
Well, any project like this, you have some people just naturally step forward, natural leaders, and want to get involved in the community, whatever it may be, in a project. And then you have some of them to step on the sideline, want to see what is actually going to happen before they get involved. Like Dave said, you have naysayers, you have people that are negative against any type of project like this. What is different this time than other ideas that's come forth? But we had a good community come forth willing to get involved and be engaged.
The next two communities, Whitesville in Boone County and Ripley in Jackson County, they're starting this effort. They're just getting it underway. Dave, do you have any advice for those communities?
Keep an open mind. Don't fear trying new things. And try to think of what your community has. What is the one asset that you have that you can key on that is doable?
Kevin, how can they be successful?
Stay positive. Become engaged, work with community leaders, find the critical stakeholders in the community, whatever it may be, a banking or a business owner or a retired individual that recently moved back. They all bring something to the table, and you have to listen to all those ideas and don't be judgmental.
Kevin, this isn't a state-funded program. It doesn't get state dollars. But what would you say to the governor or to lawmakers to encourage this program to continue?
Funding would be excellent. Once Grafton and Matemon received some funding through the Benjamin Foundation, more people became involved. They actually saw that projects were going to happen. They could see some things that were going to be completed. So obviously state funding, state recognition, and giving municipalities, whether it be Class 1 municipalities like Charleston or Class 4 like Matewan, opportunities to find ways to correct and deal with some of the issues that they deal with locally, internally.
Kevin Stead from Grafton, Dave Hatfield from Matewan, you all made a big difference in turning your town around, I'm sure. Thank you for being with us and sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting is preparing to broadcast the floor sessions live tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that next. Now, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today.
Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 2881, the West Virginia Interstate Commerce Improvement Act. The bill states that no county or municipality may adopt or enforce a local law, ordinance, resolution, rule, or policy that creates a protected classification or prohibits discrimination on a basis not contained in state law. House Bill 2883, in response to last week's crude oil train derailment, the legislature finds that the increasing transportation of hazardous and volatile materials on the railroads operating within the state, as well as significantly longer trains operating over the unique and widely varying geographical terrain existing in the state, coupled with decreasing train crew size, creates a significant localized safety hazard to the public and the environment. The bill requires, for safety reasons, a minimum personnel of 2 on certain trains. House Bill 2885, to prohibit mental health providers from engaging in or referring a patient to sexual orientation conversion therapy when such person is under 18 years of age. And House Bill 2887, to prohibit the Division of Motor Vehicles from issuing instruction permits to applicants who have not successfully passed drug tests. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2457, prohibiting the use of the name or likeness of elected or appointed officials on publicly owned vehicles. The bill also prohibits public officials from purchasing and distributing trinkets with their names on them. House Bill 2615, to create the West Virginia Small Business Capital Act. House Bill 2662, requiring a licensee to be directly involved in any prescription written for contact lenses and glasses. And House Bill 2733, removing some drugs containing hydrocodone from the Schedule 3 list of controlled substances. Among the bills on second reading in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2674, to make homeschooled students eligible for a Promise Scholarship without taking the GED test. House Bill 2778, to establish the West Virginia State Infrastructure Fund within the Division of Highways in cooperation with a federal program to provide funds for transportation infrastructure projects within the state. And House Bill 2880, creating an addiction treatment pilot program to provide access to medication-assisted treatment.
This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, a special edition of our program will be broadcast on our direct-to-cable channel, West Virginia Public Broadcasting 2, beginning at 11 a.m. New technology in the House and Senate chambers is allowing their floor sessions to be live-streamed on the web. Tuesday morning, Beth Voorhees will be your host as we patch into those feeds and broadcast floor sessions live across the state on television. West Virginia Public Broadcasting 2 is available for Suddenlink customers in Charleston, St. Albans, Huntington, and Montgomery, Time Warner customers in Fairmont, Comcast customers in Morgantown, Wheeling, Huntington, Martinsburg, Red House, and Harper's Ferry, and Center TV customers in the Warwood section of Wheeling. That's a special two-hour edition of the Legislature Today, Tuesday morning at 11 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting 2. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu. The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org.